This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here with some breaking Cowboys news for you, as we do have a trade. Everson Griffin, defensive end, sent to the Detroit Lions for a conditional sixth-round pick, is the report. So congratulations to Everson Griffin. And looking here on Cowboys Twitter at some of the reaction, Jeff, it looks like you had an encounter with Everson today.
Yeah, so I'm at the chiropractor. I don't know if he recognized me. I did not recognize him, actually, but the my guy was in there working on my back, and he was like, "Hey, are you guys okay?" Because Everson was sitting on a table about 8 feet away, and there's no one else there. And I was like, "What do you mean, okay? Who's that?" And he's like, "It's Everson." I was like, "Oh, crap." I was like, "Well, I tried to trade him yesterday, so I don't know." I didn't speak to him, but he was such a sweetheart to everybody there, talking about Halloween and his kids. So good for him. I think Everson Griffin getting traded and the Cowboys getting a sixth, which, by the way, Todd Archer says as much as a fifth.
There you go.
Depending on certain conditions. It's a win-win. Griffin, the last couple weeks, I think, was rounding into decent form. The Lions are running after something. The Cowboys are absolutely not, and they recognize that, and they are following our plan. Get darts for the draft board. Let's go. It also saves you about $3 million against the cap for Dak.
Hey, that's a win-win.
Yeah.
It is a win-win. Yeah, I think, Jeff, the great point, though, he's going to play for Detroit. He's going to get some opportunities. So if you get enough snaps for him and he could be a part of what they're doing in a rotation, by all means, get that thing from a sixth to a fifth and take that dart. The fifth round's a good round to grab some players in when you can.
Not only did you try to trade him, Jeff, but you were highly critical of his film 5 weeks ago. So I was surprised he didn't come flying over that chiropractor table at you.
Yeah,
my
Cairo guy said he thought when Griffin was walking out, he was like, he just kind of smirked at me. He's like, I think he might know who was just here. And I'm like, yeah, analysis happens, I stand by my analysis. I wish we'd have left at the same time because I'd have said hi to him. And I'd have, because I'm down to hold myself accountable for my analysis. I'm down to chat with you if you disagree, if you agree. Last couple weeks he's been a lot better, and now he'll get a chance to go try to compete in Detroit, and that's good.
Some people need to take a page out of your playbook with that, Jeff.
With what?
That kind of thoughts, being accountable for your players and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Being accountable for the work.
Yeah, accountable for the work. If you're right, you're wrong. But, stand up, put your chest out. If you're right, you're right. You're wrong, you're wrong. You just keep scouting. That's all you can do.
All right, and speaking of that, is this raising the white flag on the season? Is this, maybe not wanting to be held accountable?
Oh, this is more Randy Gregory is what this is.
Okay.
Yeah, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, this is what this is all about. I like it.
I think it is maybe not giving up on the season, but it's them knowing where they are and saying, look, the guys who are going to still be here, if they can get it done, great, and we're going to try to. But these short-term resources that we thought we signed for a different scenario, let's pull the ripcord on this. And so, yeah, I think in a way it leans towards acknowledging, look, we're not a contender. If the guys that we're going to keep can get there, great. But if not, we're giving ourselves the best chance to team build.
Well, if they can go through and do some of the things we talked about with moving Lewis, Awuzie, Alden Smith, guys like that, if you could get fourth and fifth round picks for those guys as well, come on, let's go.
I mean, there's players to be found back there.
Yeah.
And, the Cowboys have done an exceptional job at it. So if you're cynical or you think it's a nothing, I get it. Historically, it hasn't. But I really think Will McClay and the coach and the scouting department are pretty talented at finding guys with traits on day three that can step in and make an NFL career.
Yeah, pro department had a bad spring, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think, because you're right, if you think that a sixth-round pick, that is a dart that is unlikely to hit for an NFL starter. But Xavier Woods was a 6. Anthony Brown was a 6. So while one is likely to miss, if you have 5 or 6 picks in the last 4 rounds, you're likely to hit 1 or 2 or 3. So to me, their goal should be, great, we added one from Everson Griffin. Hopefully he plays in Detroit and plays well, mm-hmm. and that becomes a 5th-round pick. And then hopefully we've got a couple more guys on this roster that we can turn in to a 3rd-day pick. And by the end of this, we're approaching a draft with 12 or 13 picks, and let's go. We're going to hit on our 1, we're going to hit on our 2, and then we're going to hit 2 or 3 more times with our other 8 or 10 picks, and now you've had a good draft.
Well, you're in a situation, too, where you can get your own 5, Detroit's 5, and then you get a compensatory 5 or something like that. And now you take all 3 of those, and let's go dance up in the 4th round somewhere. You know, let's go dance in the 3rd round somewhere. You know, these are the types of things. The more of those you can accumulate, there'll always be somebody who'll take your pick and let you come up and pick their spot. You know, so keep working.
A lot of options there.
I'm trying to go the other way. Okay.
Got a lot of holes.
I'm always going to fight you on that, aren't I?
Down, down, down. We're trading
blow
down.
The hatch is what you like
to do.
Let's
go.
Yeah.
Okay, 469 brings up the next branch in this Everson Griffin topic tree. He's been traded to the Lions for a conditional 6. Watch Griffin get 10 sacks on the Lions. Ha ha, out of the 469. He's not going to get 10 sacks, but what if he does have a lot of success? How would that reflect on the Cowboys, and who would you look at with the side eye?
That's the general manager now needs to look at the head coach, and the head coach needs to look at Jim Tom Sula, and then also Leon Lett. Like, okay, why did it work for them and not for us? What were we doing? You know, that's where you have to ask the questions about that. And that's a fair question, too, if you're the GM. Like, what were we doing? We thought this guy could play. Obviously, he can. What were we doing to not allow him to play at his best?
I think it's a kind of weak excuse, but I think the honest answer would be COVID. Sorry, guys. Like, you can go after Tom Sula a little bit for the fact that schematically it wasn't a great fit for him early in the year. But I think what happened is you have a guy that you signed late that was not ready to play football. And I think in the last 2 weeks, Everson Griffin has played 2 football games. And that brings the total of good football games he's played this year to 2.
Right.
So I think it was just a guy. I expect him to be at least decent in Detroit because I think that's where he is in terms of being ready to play football now. I think he will be good in Detroit, and I don't think you need to blame anybody for it other than the fact that when he got here, he wasn't ready to play football, and now he is.
Out of the 214, guess we know who was talking bleep. Griffin was traded. Is that just a coincidence? Is there a tie-in in there at all to you guys?
I think it's just a coincidence. I don't think there's anything, you know. And now, heck, I don't know. I have my ideas. Uh-huh. You know, we all kind of had our ideas of who we might think was the player talking.
But I do
worry, though. You had a lot of personalities on that defensive line, though. Alden Smith, personality. You know, Everson Griffin, personality. Tank, personality. You know, who's the leader of that group? You know, that might be a little bit of a thought there.
All right, that is a good segue into this next conversation. That's former Cowboys scout Brian Broaddus, along with Jeff Cavanaugh. You have Lucius Alexander there at 75 Fitzhugh, along with myself, Gavin Dawson, here, Studio G in Sunnyvale, Texas. Got the new G-Bag Nation flags hanging up. There's Jeff's.
It's a
beautiful backdrop there.
Looks
on
great.
Twitch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dallas fan cam. You can order your own 105thefan.com/flagtober. Only way to get the new flag this year with the pandemic and all that. But, yeah, the biggest topic of the day with the Cowboys was the discussion around leadership and the leadership void. And we've talked about Jerry Jones reacting to it and attempted to psychoanalyze everything that's going along with him and why he was so sensitive and frustrated with Sean's questioning. But the actual substance of the discussion was the leadership void. And, Brian, you were pecking around there pretty good. Is there a leadership void on this Cowboys team, and how did it happen? How do you fix it is the topic. What do you guys say about that?
Oh, I say absolutely. But that's natural, because who were the leaders of this team coming into the year? Dak, Tyron, Zach, before he retired, Travis Frederick. Just like losing your talent, you lost your leaders. So, like, I go back and forth on how important is that, because you can go out and you can play football if you're good at football. But, yeah, I think there's guys you'd look to lead the way, and I think those guys definitely involved Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith, and Zach Martin, and they're gone. So, I mean, what is supposed to happen? And a guy who could be a leader on the defense that was hurt this whole time until now is Sean Lee. And so, yeah, I think there's absolutely a void. And I don't think that that is damning in any way about the players still on the roster. If you want to just kind of point to one good player who's supposed to be a leader that makes a lot of money and say step up and lead everybody to Tank Lawrence, that's cool. But, yeah, anybody that loses their starting quarterback who's a phenomenal leader and their 10-year left tackle and their 10-year right guard, heck, yeah, there's a void there. New coaching staff and you lose your veteran leaders? That sucks.
Yeah, I think that you're in a situation, too, in that locker room where there's some guys that are kind of looking at each other and they want to be the leader. And the other guy's like, well, I want to be the leader. You know, I rattled off three names. No, Griffin's now gone. But, you know, Alden Smith, he's probably looking at this situation going, man, I had things. I've never been around a group like this. And Tank's kind of probably saying, well, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where you've been. You ain't been in the league in 5 years. You know, and I guarantee you there was probably some looking at each other along the way. Hey, let's see if maybe things have gotten a little bit better there. But I feel like they, Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, you know, they want to act like they could be brothers and all. But, hey, one of those guys wants, you know, maybe wants to step up and be the guy. Hey, this is my team. You know, and Jalen's, oh, no, this is my team. And Sean Lee's like, what are you guys doing, man? I mean, well, Sean, you're always hurt. You know, there's so much of guys that want to be leaders, and they're trying to look at, they're kind of going after each other's necks a little bit to be the leader, which I think is an unfortunate thing to have to talk about for a locker room.
Yeah, that's tough. You don't have to want to fight your way to a leadership spot. You want to, you know, with your personality and your performance, have it naturally fall to you organically and have people respond because they want to. So it is tough. I think, you know, leadership's kind of a tricky word because we all think of leadership as like the ideal way to lead, like William Wallace. You know, I got all the boxes checked and follow me.
Well, I don't need that kind of leader. You know, I'm not trying to run off anywhere with a sword and a shield against other people. I'd rather be led back home.
I hear you, man. I mean, lead me back to my bed safely. Yes. That would be ideal. It looks like about a coin flip. Any one of us is not going to be heading back to the missus here tonight.
No.
So I don't want to be led onto that kind of battlefield, but you get it. I mean, there's the ideal type of leader who's just amazing, and he's going to lead you with the highest ethics and morals, and you're like, wow, you know, we really got a fantastic leader. When he's gone, who steps into that leadership void? You know, when in the Lion King, it was his brother. Was it Mufasa? And now that's a leader. He's every bit a leader as, you know, the little lion cub's dad was. I forget the star of the show there.
Simba.
Yeah. But Simba's dad.
Rafiki was the star, though.
Yes, Rafiki was amazing.
This sounds very Jerry Jones-like, getting mad.
Thanks. Yes. I'm kind of hunting along here and pecking.
Shut up, let me tell you. Yeah. Let me answer the question.
Right on cue.
Yeah.
But there are leaders now on this football team, and they're leading guys, just like Greg Hardy led Randy Gregory to have his career interrupted again.
That is well said, because that was a big setback for Randy Gregory. Absolutely.
Could have skipped out on the whole Lion King thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, on defense, I do want to say Tank and Tyrone Crawford were really good leaders. 2017, 2018, these were guys that it was clear when you're in Oxnard, just their body language, the way they talk to guys. And I felt like they were leading a football team that was overachieving, and the hot boys sprung up. There was fun. There was accountability. And those guys are still here. So I don't know if it's just as simple as Dak Prescott. And when I think of Tyron and Zach, I don't think of leaders. I think of guys who are good at their positions, and maybe that is a form of leadership.
Yeah, but they're in a situation right now where they're 2-5, and the guys who haven't been here very long are going, okay, you're a leader, and we're 2-5, you know, and now you're starting to question that guy. Man, yeah. There's some guys that are new to this team.
No,
and they're
right.
Like, man,
Michael Bennett did the same thing.
Yeah, we're 2-5, man, and you're telling me you're a leader of this team? Come on, man.
Well, yeah. Eric Nadell cautioned me once. He's like, I don't talk about who's the leader in the team, because oftentimes leaders don't get recognized and people who aren't leaders get recognized as leaders.
That is very fair.
So maybe that's one of those things where, you know, you take the sage wisdom of a man named Nadell and apply it
there. That's so good.
I love our new drops.
I do too.
But now, I was going to say,
Lucius, now is the water splash, that's the knowledge bomb now, the water splash?
Yeah, until I can locate the bomb.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other sounds.
Troy sabotaging you?
Yeah, somebody's getting me, bro.
Troy wants to be the pimp cup leader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't be worried about dropping like a Mufasa.
Okay.
My father-in-law, he always references Disney movies when he's teaching about life.
Yeah. Okay. Remember in The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
Pay attention now in The Little
Ariel.
Mermaid. You know, you'd be like, okay, bro, come on, man, Little Mermaid. Yeah.
Brian, you're acting like Pinocchio now. Stop it.
Look, remember Pinocchio? See, listen to me now.
I think
we should have him a show. That sounds fun.
Picked the perfect movie because Rafiki dropped the best knowledge ever in Lion King when he knocked Simba directly on the head with a stick, just bow. And Simba's like, what the hell, bro? And he said, doesn't matter. It's in the past. That's what we all got to know. Doesn't matter. It's in the past. We're moving forward.
And then we're breaking into a song after that, right?
Well, hell yeah. I don't remember which one was at that point. Yeah. But, you know. I just can't wait to be king.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just looking for the tie-in with the Cowboys because the pass is all they got, brother.
Oh, didn't have one.
Well, we need Jerry to maybe stand up on the mountain and hold something up for us, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Here he is. Junior.
Okay, here's what's happening. Right now, the trading of Everson Griffin, that is sending Simba or Simba choosing to take off because you know what you got right now isn't good enough. And what he's got to do is he's got to go find that farting animal and the ferret-looking guy, and you got to come back to town with reinforcements. That's draft
picks. It's a warthog, isn't it?
So, right, yeah, the warthog and whatever the other guy was, they're coming back into town in the form of draft picks, and they know they got to reload this thing. So sometimes you got to wander off and be lost for a second so that you can storm back in with a sixth-round pick and kick butt.
I love all these texts coming in. 469, Mufasa was the dad that died. Scar was the uncle that took over the pride. That's
Scar was the evil one.
He made everybody mad, yeah.
Yeah, Scar was evil. And then you had Zazu. Zazu was the annoying bird that Jonathan Taylor Thomas Simba didn't like because he was always being a jerk and trying to get him to be like mature and stuff. And he's like, I'm a kid, bro. Shut up. So, yeah, great movie.
It was. He was a kid. And then the next thing you know, like by the power of film, he was just running through a field and became like a young adult.
Yeah.
He was ready to whoop some serious ass.
And his girl, I forgot her name, she was hot for a lioness.
Yeah. She kind of had it going on, didn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, Nation, it's time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. Gentlemen, where are we going with it?
It's not always easy, but we're going to identify the Jeffrey Stars of the Game, the J-Sogs from the Cowboy game.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. It is brought to you by the Frankels. Hurt in an accident and that it's not your fault? Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333 or go online to truckwreck.com. Here they are, Kavanaugh, brought us.
Hello, I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
Some would call me the Rafiki of the G-Bag Nation. Gavin, of course, is the
Mufasa.
Oh, you're the Pumbaa?
Yeah. All Warthog. Right.
Brian is the Nala.
The gal?
Yeah. Married to Simba. And if you are Pumbaa, then Lucius is Timon. You guys together are Timon and Pumbaa, one of the finest tandems of all time. All right. If you hadn't seen it yet, or if you're just joining us, Everson Griffin has been traded to the Detroit Lions. The Cowboys will get a sixth-round pick that could potentially become a fifth-round pick. And somebody asked me, how does that become a fifth-round pick? I'll give you the general idea because nobody has announced what it is yet. But generally speaking, if you make a trade like that is conditional, it's either based on Everson being active in Detroit or snap counts or them making the postseason or sacks. But I bet if he plays every game the rest of the way with Detroit, that becomes a fifth-round pick. That would be my guess. So now, where are the Cowboys when it comes to draft picks now that they've added that one? I'm glad you asked. By my count, the Cowboys currently have their own first-round pick, their own second-round pick, their own third-round pick, plus an extra third-round pick for Byron Jones going to Miami. Their own fourth-round pick, plus an extra fourth-round pick for Robert Quinn. No fifth-round pick, but they do have a fifth-round comp pick. And the fifth-round one is from... They got a six comp for Heath, and the fifth round comp is from
Yeah.
Ah, Randall Cobb.
He nailed it.
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
So it was
1, 2, 2 threes, 2 fours, a 5, 2 sixes, and now a third six that could become a 5. By my count, the Cowboys have 10 draft picks. None of them are in the 7th. So we're cooking with bacon grease right now, okay? I don't know how many team tankers are out there, but we're cooking with bacon grease right now. And now, whether you like it or not, now we're calling around and we're saying, hey, I got Alden Smith. Hey, I got Chido Awuzie. Hey, I got Xavier Woods.
Let's do it.
Hey, I got Jordan Lewis. I got a bunch of guys on the last year of their deal that I don't think we're going to extend here. And if we're not going to extend them, then we got to move them. Who wants some? I'm trying to get to 12, 13, 14 draft picks. Everybody good with that? We happy?
Yes. I love it, man. This might be the best thing about the new coaching staff. If they pull this off, if they convince the Joneses, we got to get rid of these veterans, go young. A lot of benefits to it.
Well, it's just there's no benefit to keeping them. Unless you're saying, like, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean,
I think the Joneses have looked at it like, we're going to put the best possible product on the field Sunday and give our fans something to cheer for. That's important for us. Best the foot
Nooch
forward.
The Nooch is playing, guys. You don't need anything else. You got the Nooch.
I know, but remember when Romo got hurt, Wheaton sucked, and they spent a 6 to get Castle. You know, they were we can save this.
That is weird. What if they flip the thing they just traded Griffin for to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick? Would you lose your mind? I would, although he'd be entertaining to watch. But that's where you are. I believe the Cowboys are currently at 10 draft picks. Everson Griffin's on his way to Detroit, and you should be calling on everybody in the last year of their deal. If anybody's bringing up the name Don Terry Poe or Daryl Worley, the reason I did not name them is because I believe they have zero value, and I don't think anyone will trade for them.
The league agrees with you on that, Jeff, by the way.
There you have it. Okay.
The 469 does say let's trade Gallup for a 1. Brian pointed out yesterday it looks like he doesn't have that much value somehow.
That's the problem. Is that the teams I talked to were thinking more like the line of a 3. I was trying hard to say how about a 2, and you know, the teams are like, nah, 3 right there. So
look, sometimes there's a harsh reality, okay? Yeah. Gallup's my guy, so chill out on me here. Gallup's not a number 1. That's why you're not worth a first-round pick.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that Green Bay being desperate at the end of it, you know, at the end of the first round and saying, okay, well, is he better than, you know, the 29th player or the 30th best player? You know, that's what I was banking on.
He produces like a 1 if you throw him the ball. I know he doesn't look like that.
See, problem I have is that, you know, if that's what his role is going to be, you know, 2-3 targets a game, try and get the best you can out of it then.
Yeah. Feels a little tanky, though, doesn't it, Jeff? You getting tank vibes out of this at all?
To me, I would call it a mini tank.
All right.
Where it's your goal, because most tank teams, you think that you're trying to, like, completely change your franchise. In this case, I think it's just an admission that, man, we really got hurt. This isn't our year. So let's maximize what we can have to try to reload this thing in the offseason, then we're right back. So, you know, this is not a full, what were the German tanks called? The giant
Panzers.
Ones? Okay, this is like a mini mine
train. Or Tigers.
This is like a mini mine train tank. This is not the full-blown, you know, driving over cars and taking down entire infantry blocks with a single shot. This is a much smaller version. Now, we move on to the J-Sogs. The Jeffrey Stars of the game. Now, it's hard to do when you get your butt kicked by Washington to have Stars of the game. And I tried.
We need to rethink this segment, by the way, going forward.
What do you want to call it?
I don't know. I just worry about us for the next 9 weeks trying to do this.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know what, Brian? That's why we get paid the big bucks.
I'm with you.
We're radio professionals. You got to figure out who were the stars of the game, even if it was bad.
Okay. I'm with you. Let's go.
All right. Here's what I settled on. Mari Cooper was the star of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. Amari was getting open. He was making plays when people actually threw the ball to him. Mari Cooper had a good game. He's a Jeffrey star of the game. Helmet sticker for Amari Cooper. I really wanted to get a second guy on offense, but I was pretty much drawing a blank after watching the coach's tape. So here's what I settled on. Connor McGovern at right guard was the only offensive lineman for the Cowboys that did not allow a pressure, a hurry, or a sack. He was the only guy with a clean slate in pass protection.
Mickey G getting it done.
Each offensive tackle allowed three pressures. Biotish allowed two. Connor Williams, one. McGovern was not great. They had some weird-looking busted assignments, and I think he got over-aggressive a couple of times, which cost him the ability to make a good block in the run game. I don't think he had a great day blocking for the run, but I think he was solid in pass protection, and I saw enough from Connor McGovern that I want him back out there, and I want Zach Martin playing right tackle. So this is like a third of a helmet sticker. You got to tear off a piece of it and give it to Connor McGovern. If you guys have any other candidates on the offensive side of the ball, I'm listening.
Can I throw, this is going to sound terrible, but a lineman that I saw, I honestly thought that Cam Irvin was going to get destroyed by Young. I really did. I was expecting a track meet, and, you know, it didn't happen that way. I felt like, though, that, and I've been very, very critical of Cam Irvin and the way he played. But I think there were some, if you grade him on all the plays that they had, the number of plays, which wasn't many that they ran, I bet you he, if you talk to the coaches, he probably graded out pretty well for them. So I would say that Cam Irvin would be a consideration after watching the tape myself, because, like I said, I thought Young was just going to destroy him, and he really, really didn't.
I think the offensive lineman to me that's struggling the most, and it's tough because you have no good starting offensive lineman right now. Like Biotish, I think, is out there surviving, which is cool for a fourth-round rookie that he's surviving. Connor McGovern was out there surviving. Cam Irving was out there surviving.
Yeah.
The right tackle's the weak link.
He is.
The right tackle is the guy that if you get any sort of decent get-off, you can run right around him, you can run through him. And that's why I think keep McGovern on the field, move Zach Martin, that's your best five. If somebody is screwing it up and you want to plug Joe Looney in somewhere, cool. But to me, that's your best five. The Terrence Steele thing, chill out. Come on, guys. What are we doing, coaches? Let's not do that. Let's get our five best on the field and move on ahead.
I got Tony Pollard in there, too. I don't know if that counts for offense. That's probably a special teams, J-Sog.
Yeah.
The kickoff return, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice return, yeah. And I guess in a game like that, the standard really has been lowered to where if you made a nice play.
He did.
You are a star of the game. And he made a nice play, so he's a star of the game.
He got 6 yards on his one carry, too.
Badass.
6 yards per carry.
That's great yards per carry.
Got to get to five of them.
Okay, now if you wanted to really reach, Blake Bell played all right in his snaps. Okay. Thought Blake Bell, he blocked all right, blocked pretty well. Schultz did not, but Blake Bell blocked okay, if you want to really reach.
Schultz seems undersized to me. Is that a TV trick, or is he legitimately like,
I think he's like
a
in the
mini
two,
tight end?
I think he's in like the 240s, which most inline guys are a little bigger than that probably. He's probably a little bit smaller than a lot
of
inline
tight ends. Yeah, about 244 is what I heard. Yeah.
On defense, I tried really hard.
You squinting now?
To are find you two stars of the game.
Are you really squinting?
I didn't have to squint too hard for the first one.
Okay.
Tank Lawrence.
Okay.
He had 6 stops, which is basically tackles made close to the line of scrimmage for short gain or no gain.
Mm-hmm.
6, which was best among defensive linemen in the entire league this week. He had 2 hurries. He had a sack. Tank's playing well. Tank Lawrence, helmet sticker. My other one was actually Everson Griffin. He had 2 stops. He had a sack on the first drive of the game. He had a hurry where he made the quarterback throw away. On the third down where they threw a ball to McLaurin on the goal line that was initially called a touchdown but then wasn't, the ball got out really fast, but he had a really nice pass rush move on an inside spin. So Everson Griffin, again, I think had his best game as a Cowboy right before they just traded him to the Lions. So I'm stopping there. That's the only two I'm going to pick. And I would say Tank and Everson Griffin. Who else played well on defense, Brian?
Well, if you just go on the sheer numbers, but he did miss a couple of tackles, so I don't know how you want to do the helmet sticker there.
You just tell me if the man played well.
I thought that Van Der Esch played well.
Well, or like he was okay.
Well.
Okay. Well, that's a positive.
Because I felt like, though, for his second game back because they really didn't use him much on Monday night. Excuse me. And then he, you know, coming back, he had the 12 tackles. I felt like there were a couple more. I felt like that he got out-leveraged on a play. But when it came down to having to make some tackles one-on-one, he was able to come up with them. Like I said, I think he had 12 of them overall. These linebackers are getting a lot of tackles because their defensive line isn't really helping them very much. But I would give a helmet sticker to Van Der Esch.
All right, that's all I got, guys. I wanted to find so many more great candidates, but just make sure you're locked in next week for Jeffrey's Stars of the Game.
Maybe the J-Pogs, the plays of the game, you know? Because you can't necessarily say many of those guys were great the entire game.
If we did plays of the game, would we have five?
We'd have
we'd have two. We'd be like, yeah, they sacked him twice.
The waggle pass to Dalton Schultz out in the flat was a good play for
him. That's not fair, though, because anytime you run a boot or a waggle, Broadus loves it.
I love that play.
I saw a hinge block.
No, I think they need to run more of the boots and the waggles. If they can't block, get the guy outside. Let him flip the ball out to the edge. I'm okay with that.
That's your boot waggle segment of the day.
Yeah.
We got the Cowboys making a trade. We'll get you caught up to speed on that and the rest of the world of pro football as we go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, next in the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Okay, first down here with you as we'll reset the big Cowboys trade of the day. Everson Griffin has been sent to the Lions. Late in last night's show, we got the news they were willing to talk trade with him. And turns out the Lions were interested. It's a conditional sixth-round pick, according to multiple reports now. And the Cowboys might, as we were talking about, might be ready to initiate a little bit of a sell-off. How much of sellers are they going to be here? Could they also be buyers, as they do not have a good corner right now? The Patriots are putting Stephon Gilmore out there on the market, so that has Cowboys fans excited about the possibility of improving the defense. The problem there is 2021's cap is so thin that you can't add salary for next year. So maybe if you can find a player whose cap number is going to be nothing next year and then explodes in 2022, they could find the flexibility for it if it would be the right player. And I think Gilmore might be the right player, but it's got to make sense for all the reasons.
I would get really bitter, and people would not like my broadcasting if they traded for a really good corner. Because I'd be like, hey, that's weird. You gave up a draft pick to add a good corner. You could have had one without giving up a draft pick, and you said no. So,
yeah.
I mean, and it could make sense because obviously their secondary is not good, and they could use a really good corner, but you had one. All you had to do was give him a contract. So, yeah. No, I don't want this team to be a buyer. Now, if we start dancing around the Quinnen Williams from the Jets thing, where you're talking about potentially a guy that's a building piece moving forward, okay, we could talk about that. But I'm not chasing the aging vets. I'm good here.
Yeah, the Dolphins say they aren't exploring any trades involving their corner, Xavien Howard, either. But it's a fun time to be a fan of the NFL here around the trade deadline because it's suddenly become a big thing. And with salary control more important than ever, teams that are rebuilding now might decide, you know what, we have this good young player, but maybe we can't afford to keep him. Or by the time we get good again, he's going to be gone anyway, or he's going to be past his prime. And teams like the Eagles and the Rams and the Patriots in recent years have found a lot of success. Cowboys are trying to dabble in it. You know, the acquisition of Michael Bennett last year, I thought that was in the right sort of, because you go out there and pay in free agency for a player and you're setting the market. But in trades, the deal could have been done 3 or 4 years ago before the guy broke out or he got drafted in the second or third round. Now you have a chance to bring him in and have it not impact your salary cap. And for some teams, having 1 or 2 years of that could be worth a second, third, or fourth round pick.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot more teams more willing to we talk about tank, but I think there's a lot more teams willing to. There was a time when Krusty was working that we were like, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. And now it's like, you know, we're not good enough. Let's try and recoup what we can right now and work on rebuilding our team. They're in a difficult situation, too, with all this pandemic, and college scouting, too, is another thing. you know, that you're going to have to go out and have to figure out. Some of these guys are going to play games, some of them are not. You know, so there's a lot of things going, a lot of questions you have to ask. So if you're a team that's not any good, you better figure out your scouting and how you're going to do it and how you're going to have all these picks lined up. But there was a time where we weren't going to give up so easily, but today it seems like people are.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about trying to get that Super Bowl, moving yourself closer to it. Around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys daily at 4:40, except for Thursdays when Joe Looney joins us. So Joe's a couple days away here at this point. Here's Jeff Cavanaugh with Second Down.
Well, a lot of you guys, well, both of you and the people on the Twitch and the Autoflex Leasing fan text, they're always asking me, hey, Jeff, how's the fantasy team doing? And I always tell them, you know, we're doing really well, especially considering Christian McCaffrey's been out a long time. You know, you lose your number one pick for an extended stretch, and it's hard to stay on top of the league, but we're 5-2, you know, we're right there at the top. And Christian McCaffrey may be on the way back. So it's not so it's not actually about my fantasy team. It's about Christian McCaffrey. Okay. He's back on the practice field, and for the first time, he is not wearing the red jersey, the non-contact jersey. He's wearing a regular jersey, and head coach of the Panthers, Matt Rhule, said at a press conference that they're hopeful about having him back in the backfield this week and that they need to see how his ankle responds to the work today before making any further plans. Now, here comes the Jeff hates running backs thing. I want to ask you guys a question. Can you get on board with this theory? Having a great player with the reputation of being a great player can sometimes hurt your offense, is my theory. The Panthers' offense has been better with Mike Davis at running back than with Christian McCaffrey. And my theory would say that when you have McCaffrey, teams play you to give him the ball a lot, and you still give him the ball a lot because he's a great player. Now, Mike Davis, you don't care how often you give him the ball. You just run your offense. And so you can actually get better with the inferior player. Cleveland, they've lost Odell Beckham. They've played better without him since he's been a Cleveland Brown. When he's out there, teams know you want to get him the ball. Baker, you want to get him the ball. He wants the ball. He's gone, and you just run your offense. You guys buying my theory?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the OC, the quarterback, a lot of people can be, especially if it's a running back. I don't know if it applies just as much if you have a star tight end or wide receiver that can get it up the field.
Yeah, I guess it's just been a weird one in Cleveland where they have a guy that at least I think is still a great wide receiver in Odell Beckham, and he's the one guy on the team where it's inefficient and it really just doesn't work between him and the quarterback. And when he throws to other places, it does work. But, yeah, most great receivers are great receivers.
I mean, in New York – in New York, in Eli Manning's last year with Odell Beckham, you remember what the numbers were like. When he targeted Odell, his passer rating was 120, and everybody else was like 50.
Yeah.
So weird stuff could be going on with Baker not being good or Odell getting older or whatever it is. But I believe in him, and I believe in force-feeding your star wide receiver on most teams.
Okay. Well, that is it. Christian McCaffrey, hopefully back this week. It would be not a day too soon for Team Cavanaugh.
And here's Brian Broaddus with Third Down.
We'll speak about wide receivers. Dez Bryant is officially back in the National Football League. The Baltimore Ravens have signed Bryant to their practice squad. We all know that the practice squad is just a placeholder to be on the active roster. So I have a feeling that here in a couple of weeks, you're going to see Dez Bryant get elevated to the active roster for the Ravens. They're in a situation right now, the Ravens, where they've got seven wide receivers that are active, and only two of them are not hurt right now. So Bryant's going to come in. Hopefully he will learn the offense. They'll have a plan for him, what he needs to do. He'll get in condition, and they'll plug him in, and away he goes. So I'm happy to see that Dez is back in the league, and officially, again, the Ravens announced it today. Practice squad, active roster will be the next thing, and then away we go.
Man, I just can't wait to start hearing the next couple of days. Do you think they'll talk about it, honestly, and give us a vibe for how he's doing against legit NFL defensive backs?
Oh, I'll call. I'll call the Ravens and find out.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. You hear that promo running. It's not just our opinions. Yeah. We're constantly checking with our sources, locally and nationwide.
We are.
That part's brought us. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm about to text a guy right now. I'm about to find out some stuff.
I try. Absolutely. Yeah, try and do that.
Well, you're doing a hell of a job for
us.
Appreciate
that.
We salute you here and around the NFL. I got one more here, a fourth down coming up in just a second. But out of the 469, this Tola would like to say, Broadus, you're right. Fans used to cheer for their team no matter if they were rebuilding or just flat out terrible and would accept a decent season. Now, in this instant gratification era, it's Super Bowl or bust, and the fan jumps to whoever is winning while trashing their own team. It's sad. I would say instant gratification, 469, is sad. But the only instant thing about it is your need to watch a team try to win on Sundays. I can delay gratification for the greater good of everybody, and that involves a Super Bowl. Not winning in Week 8 in a meaningless season. Nobody gives a crap about those wins. You know who does care about winning championships, sponsors, fans for the rest of their lives? You know, you win a championship, you go along for that ride, you're living and dying during that season, then you celebrate with them, championship parade downtown, you're never leaving, okay? And the Cowboys have now let a quarter century go by without giving their fans that experience. So you want to talk about instant gratification, we can do that, bruh. But I think you got it 180 degrees wrong, you know? The huge key for life is delaying being happy today so 25 years from now I can retire with a whole mess of grandkids around me in a house paid off, on a plot of land paid off. That's instant gratification. If you need a win now and that's going to hurt your draft pick, that is your instant gratification. That's your problem. Eagles wide receiver jersey sales are taking off. What do you guys think about this dude? You're going to have to shut him down Sunday night. Travis Fulgham.
Yeah, number 13 flying out the doors, huh?
ODU, Old Dominion, baby.
We watched a little tape of them.
Boy, he looks like the real deal.
He does look like the real deal.
That's one of those guys that plays the way that he has played, and then guys get healthy, and you're like, he's going to keep playing. Old Dominion is in the house.
Well, he's only played four games. He has 23 catches for 357 yards and three touchdowns, averaging 15.5 yards per catch. That is strong. Is this guy the real deal?
Oh, he looks like the real deal when you watch him play. I'll get on the Eagles tape tonight. But, yeah, the games I've seen him play against the Ravens and the Steelers, you know, you were thinking like, well, who's this guy? What's going to throw it to? And all of a sudden, this 13, they keep throwing it to him. And he's making plays. He's a big guy. He's got body control, balance. His footwork's really good. He catches the ball in traffic. Yeah, there's a lot to like about this kid.
Top 10 jersey sales. Fans are buying up that number 13, making it happen for him. So congratulations on the success. What happens there? Are these guys just gamers? I mean, he couldn't practice. He gets in a game. He's like, well, it turns out I'm a star. I just couldn't show it to you when we were at practice and training camp.
Well, they had a guy, too. The Ward was another one. Remember Greg when they Ward. Were dead down to all? They were so banged up at wide receiver, and all these guys they were bringing up, and it's like, oh, let's just play this guy.
From the AFL or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, they've hit on some guys, some of those down-the-line receiver guys that make a difference for their team, a big part of their offense.
Playmakers got an assessment of how bad this Cowboys team is. Do you agree with Michael Irvin? You'll hear him next in the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.